My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome in our man, James Hamm. Hammer, what's happening, man?
What's going on, guys?
Not much. We just saw Mike McDaniel talk today, and I kind of wanted to hear what he had to say. Kenny's going to pull that video up for us. I saw what Antonio Pierce said. And, you know, Antonio been there. He been through this. I respect that. Let's all listen to this together, James, if you don't mind. I'd really like to hear what Mike McDaniel said. You want to go ahead and hit full screen and play there?
Yes, sir.
Mike McDaniel today.
It would be so wrong of me to even sniff that subject, and it's more in line of actually caring about the human being, and you know that's something that entirely you're talking about his career, right? His career is his, you know, and that's something that I think I just really, really, really wish. I totally understand it, and it's not misplaced. I totally get how that's where people want to go to. I just wish that people would for a second hear what I'm saying, that bringing up his future is not in the best interest of him. So, you know, I'm going to plead with everybody that you know that does genuinely care, that should be the last thing on your mind, because you don't. But what do you think? That's if I would answer that question, I'd be like, all right, this is my thoughts on his career. And he read it. If he agreed with it or he disagreed with it, either way, I've just made him worse. So I'm not taking this opportunity. Just
we get the gist of it. We can go ahead and end it right there.
Yeah, you know, I
like Mike McDaniel a lot. He obviously cares very deeply for Tua Tagovailoa. I was just curious what he had to say the day after. That actually wasn't, for those who saw it, that far off of what he said last night. I know you guys talked a lot about this earlier. You and Jesse on the Insider's Hammer. What was your takeaway from what we saw on the field last night?
Yeah, you know, it's tough, man. You know, we've talked about concussions so many times, right? And we talked about Tua a ton a couple of years ago when all of this stuff started. It wasn't just a concussion. It was, you could see him seizing on the field. You know, you could see his hands doing things. Like, it was like super scary. And it's something that you know, the NFL tries to hide from and run from this issue with concussions. And, you know, they did for decades. They just hid whatever they knew about concussions and didn't say anything about it. And their players have paid the price after retirement. And for me, like, look, I've said this before to you guys. I've said this. I said it today on the show with Jesse. Like, I played high school football, and I know what getting hit feels like when you're wearing a helmet, when you're literally just flying across the field. And I made the commitment when my boys were young that they would never put a helmet on. And I know there are people out there who have their 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds out playing like Pop Warner. And to me, I've never understood that at all. They're just too young. They're too small. Like, they can't even really tell you if they've got a concussion, if they're seeing blurry, some of these kids, because they're playing at an age where they don't even know what that is. And so I think it's a really difficult decision that Tua is faced with right now. And I don't, you know, I feel bad for him. Like, this is the game that you play. And, you know, he's 26 years old. He might have another 50 or 60 years after he's done playing football. And I don't want his life to just be horrible after football. And so I hope that they make the right decision here and whatever that is for him and his family. And I think Mike McDaniel, like, kind of avoiding, like, putting pressure one way or another, making a statement one way or another, you know, like, there is no rushing him back or anything else. This is going to come down to whether that guy wants to continue risking his long-term health or if he's done. And as a coach, I think it's the best thing to stay out of it. Let him make his decision. I don't think it's wrong for someone to ask that question. And I think he handled it pretty well. But at the same time, like, that's his job. His job is to stand there and take that question today. And, you know, it'll be the same if Tua decides to come back and this whole situation plays out again. And unfortunately, it probably will. And so, yeah, we're just kind of in like a really kind of somber mood for it being week two of the regular season. But again, this is a sport they play, and it's a tough sport to, you know, to get into and to be a part of, but it also comes with tremendous risk.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's perfectly said, man. And I like I said, Mike McDaniels, I understand why he doesn't necessarily want to answer that question. I think he handled it the right way as a person. It's his head coach or whatever. But, you know, we that's what we do for a living. We talk about these things and we pontificate about them. And like I said, I want Tua to walk away from the game. That's what I would like to see, because I just don't think any of this is going to get any better. I don't think the risk is worth the reward that he may get from this. I hope he walks away from the game after this. I don't think he will, though. I think he's gonna play again, and that's gonna be a little scary. But I wish he would.
Yeah, I honestly think he's gonna take time. Like, and it's not just time to make a decision, but it's time to actually heal, which is something that they didn't do the last time. You know, when he got the back-to-back concussions, when we already knew something was horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And then they had a short week and they put him back out on the field like 5 days later or 4 days later.
Yep.
To me, that was just so irresponsible. And, you know, we talk about this stuff all the time where it's like, sometimes as a coach, as a franchise, as a GM, as an owner, your job is to say, hang on, dude. Like, this isn't about wins and losses at this point. This is about the human that's inside that helmet. And I think it gets so lost. And, you know, again, all the people who play fantasy football or bet on the sport or just fans, you know, you all just want to come on, man, you can keep doing it. You can keep doing it. And for me, there comes a point where, like, it has to be about, you know, what is his life going to look like after this? I mean, it's not just random players that leave the game and are destroyed by CTE. I mean, isn't Junior Seau, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's some of the game's greats. The dude put a gun to his chest so his brain could be studied. Like when we're doing stuff like that, that's when you start to think, okay, this is probably not the best thing that we're doing here. And I don't know how to fix it. And I, you know, again, I'm not out there advocating for football to stop. But like everybody has a decision to make. And my decision's always been like, I went through it. I know at my age, the aches and pains that I still have from playing football, even though I didn't get to start and I wasn't some big football star, I still got crushed so many times. And, you know, I still feel it. There's still things that I feel from my time playing football, whether it's, you know, weight room injuries where you're too young to be lifting what you're lifting and unsupervised in high school football, and they're pushing you so hard, and you think you're doing what's best because your coach is telling you that, and then you turn around and years later, you know, still have all kinds of issues from these silly little things. And 99 point whatever percent of the kids that are playing high school football are never going to play after their senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to play this sport again, and they do all of this damage to their body. And it's like, okay, you get to be the big man on campus for 4 years. And after that, you know, who knows what you look like when you're 30 or 40 or 50. Like it's a tough sport, man. It is. And there are a lot of good sports out there outside of this, that you can push your kid to play or, you know, lean your kid towards, that don't have the same types of risks. And look, you can get hurt playing anything, right? But this is like it's a common theme with football. The concussion problem is just, you know, and just think of this, the NFL is out there playing with like the best equipment known to man. Mm-hmm. Do you think like middle America high school that can't hardly pay for, you know, school supplies has the best equipment out there? They don't. And you're putting your kids out there in a helmet that is probably 15 or 20 years old, hasn't been tested in years. You know, it's just tough.
Texas does, though. Texas has better equipment than the NFL.
They do.
They got their money. Yeah,
they do. I think athletes are so often taught, they're not just taught. I think they desire to push through stuff. And, you know, push through the, you know, what's the line? Are you injured or are you hurt? Yeah, push through it. You could play this. You don't want to disappoint your coach. You don't want to disappoint your teammates. You don't want to disappoint anyone. And I think sometimes that happens with head injuries as well. Like there's obvious ones. We saw a very obvious one again last night. I think there are less obvious ones that happen throughout games. And we talked about that earlier. And I think one, and I'm not faulting anyone for this. I'm not blaming anyone for this. You're a coach. You're trying to win football games. You saw something. You went with it. I can, and either of you can correct me if I'm wrong, I can think of one time a player said, something's not right. Like, not with his leg, not with his it. Like, I feel off. Like, I need out. Mm-hmm. It was Alex Smith. Mm. And Cap took his job. Mm-hmm. He didn't get that job back. He had a head. He felt something off. Mm-hmm. And he said, something's wrong. I need out. And Cap went in and never came out. Yeah. And that's, no one wants that to happen to them. Right. No one, like, it's always next man up, next man up, next man up. No one wants to be the guy who ushered in the next man.
Right.
And that's just a tough, that is just a tough, tough thing to deal with as an athlete, specifically in this conversation as a football player.
Yeah, man. You know, we were talking, me and Kyle were talking the other day, and we're talking about Jordan Mason, right? And he runs violently. And it kept coming into my head, like, there's a player that he reminded me of, and I couldn't think of it. And then I stumbled upon it, and it was Marion Barber, right? Mm-hmm. The running back for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, oh, he really does remind me of Marion Barber. And then I clicked on his page, and then I realized Marion Barber died at 38 years old a couple of years ago of heat exhaustion, of all things. They found him in his apartment, but he had been struggling with mental health issues for a couple of years, probably CTE, probably something like that, probably from all of his years of playing the sport. And it was random, and it was like 2 days ago, and it was before we're talking about all this Tua stuff, but it strikes a chord, because like we all idolize these guys. Like, I'm sitting in my bar and I've got pictures of the greats of the game everywhere all around me. And like so many of them, what they went through after they were done playing football is just, it's just horrible. And the league just moves on. Like what you said, the league just moves on to the next group.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't slow down.
Next man up.
Like, the Miami Dolphins aren't going to stop playing football this season if Tua can't play. It's going to be the next guy and the next guy. And it's like, okay.
It's messed up. It's messed up, James. Like, it really is. But it's the nature of the sport, nature of the league, right? Like,
it's the nature of life.
Yeah, that too.
What's going to stop? Like, if I die today, this station doesn't stop. Like, that's just the nature of things. Mm-hmm. You move through it. Mm-hmm. That's life. Yeah. Whether we like it or not, like that's life. And there'll be another Tua at some point, which, you know, we've said this before. I don't think anything in the NFL will change. The Damar Hamlin incident was so, you wanted it to be something for those who feel about football the way that I do. But when you learn about what happened to him, you realize there's not a lot you could do with this. Like, this is such a one in a trillion thing. Right. When we talked about the NFL might not wake up till someone dies on the field, that's not what we thought would happen. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunately something closer to what we saw last night that we thought, like, that might be the moment that gets their attention. Mm-hmm. But as you just laid out, it might not. Mm-mm. It might not.
And we talked about it. I don't know what they can do.
I don't either.
I don't know what they can do. And like I said, I'm not trying to stall them out like they're a perfect league and don't need to make some adjustments. But the game
is violent.
It's just what it is. And these players are getting stronger. They're getting faster every year. And if you're going to keep playing football, if you're going to keep having a National Football League, I don't know how much more they can do,
and that's the thing,
to make it safer or change.
And this will get heat on a sports station. Like, the game shouldn't exist. Mm. Like, if we're in reality, like, what? Look at what we're watching. That is my constant battle with this game. Look at what we're. You and I stood feet away. This is at Sac State. This wasn't even the NFL. This was Sac State. The sound of that game will make you vomit. Like, the way that those guys hit each other, the noise that it makes, and it's not one sound. Bop, 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 bop. Yeah, those are dudes' heads, thighs, stomachs, torsos, all of that stuff hitting into each other that way. It's just a violent, violent game.
The one thing I will say, and I don't know how you regulate this, but I think you can. I don't know how you do it, but I think this is actually the answer. Is you gotta find a way to eliminate the what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe the intensity of the tackling. Like, yeah. I talk about how much I love the guy, right? But if Fred Warner shoots through the line and just torpedoes into Najee Harris and lays him out, I've always thought about, and I know why they don't do it, but you don't have to torpedo into him. Wrap him up, bring him to the ground.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
But
the nature of football is, we talk about it, it's a break of wheels, right?
Yeah, like,
whose wheels gonna break? I'm gonna launch into this guy.
Yeah.
You see these guys coming across the middle. You're there as a defender for the tackle when he comes down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're there. But nope, let me leave my feet, and I'm going to put this shoulder into his chest and try to knock him backwards and do it. He comes down with the ball, wrap him up, bring him down.
Yeah, that's tough.
But
I think
we're so far
and
past.
And that's just such a, to me, that's such a difficult thing to try to execute.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Especially like now.
Mm-hmm.
And you always hear athletes say, when you are trying to prevent injury is when you get injured. Mm. Or when you know what I mean? And
yeah,
I don't know. I every time I watch a game, I'm like, why are we doing this? Mm. Like, you didn't have to do that. And it's normally when, you know, guy five comes diving in like, right, oh, I'm going to get him. Like,
right,
sir, they were going to blow the whistle. Like, the forward motion had been stopped. Like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
again, that I don't know how you stop all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I also, like, look, I think we're seeing the new like helmet cover, right?
Mm-hmm.
The I don't know what it's called. Like
funny looking helmet cover. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I hope that I don't know what team, but one of the teams just goes, you know what? As a group, we're all gonna do it. We're all gonna put the weird helmet thing on, mm-hmm. and it looks funky, but that doesn't matter anymore. Let's.
Well, it looks crazy because no one's wearing them.
Yeah,
like if everyone went out there with those on, it wouldn't look weird if they all had it on.
That's what I'm saying. You had a whole team do it and say, okay, we're doing this. I think it would be a lot more acceptable. And, you know, it's such football is such a machismo sport. It's so much testosterone. And I think literally guys are just like embarrassed to put on, even, you know, the Nick Bosa has the helmet with the extra on the top, where we used to with the extra padding on top.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you avoid that? Why would you not put that on if there's a way to help you? And maybe it doesn't fully help. I mean, you're still going to have concussions. You're still going to have guys who fall backwards and smack their head on the ground in a specific way. But it seems like we know enough. So yeah, it's crazy. And it's a bummer that we're in week two of the NFL season, and this is where the conversation is totally shifting to.
Well, to your point, James, like, they're going to have to normalize it to a certain degree. Because, I mean, you think back to baseball, they thought people were crazy when they started wearing helmets at the plate. And then mm-hmm. when they started wearing the ear flap, they're like, that looks crazy, or whatever the case may be. I think in hockey, the face, when they started wearing helmets in hockey, they were like, no, there's no way Bobby Orr never wore a helmet. Da, da, da. And, like, you just got to normalize it after a while. You know what I'm saying? And I hope at least they take that precaution.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I think, again, this is a moment to change the game, but the last time this happened to Tua should have changed the game. We all saw something that made all of us very uncomfortable, watching a person literally start to seize on the field. And they did nothing afterwards. Like, there has been no dramatic change.
Yeah, they shut him down for the season because they were responsible for what happened leading into that. But we don't have to go on that rant again. But I feel for Tua. I feel for Tua. I hope whatever is ahead for him is the right decision for him. Bills did have a hell of a win last night, though. Prior to the Tua injury, and please take this in its complete context, they were beating the Dolphins' ass.
Mm-hmm.
And that was frustrating for a lot of people who thought maybe the Dolphins, this was it, and this was their big moment, and this was like, hey, this was this is the Kings beating the Pelicans type thing. This is one of those things like, you got to go out there, you got to get this win, and it's going to help set the tone for you the rest of the season. Instead, they're hit with the whammy of they were getting their ass kicked with their starting quarterback out there. Then they had the really unfortunate incident with their starting quarterback. And now, all of a sudden, James, as you mentioned it, headed into this mini bye week, the Miami Dolphins in week two are kind of picking up the pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins are not only hit with the fact that their leader might not be coming back, or we have no idea what's going to happen to Tua, but they're hit with the fact that they just got crushed once again. And, you know, again, I made in fun of Jesse a bunch today just because that's what we do. We try to laugh through it when your team has a moment like this. But this team is like taking a major step backwards out of nowhere. And they went, if you remember back early last season, Mike Fiorio called them like a team of destiny with the 49ers. They were like the funnest team. They were like watching the Kurt Warner Rams from the early 2000s. They were just flying all over the field, the fastest players you've ever seen. Like, and they kind of came to a crashing halt. And now here they are in the middle of another, you know, I don't know if I would say meltdown, but it's also possible that Buffalo is just a bad matchup and they're, you know, the New Orleans Pelicans to the Sacramento Kings. you know, like that it's possible this is just a weird matchup. You know, what did I think Jesse said there?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
1-12 against Josh Allen and the Bills in the last 13 games, and that's crazy. I mean, again, that's some next level Domantas Sabonis over Anthony Davis stuff right there.
Well, that's not really true. I mean, at least the Dolphins got one.
Yeah, at least they got one. Yeah.
Anthony Davis can't get one against our guy.
Josh Allen still undefeated on Thursday night.
Yeah, how about his? How about Cooks? He might have found himself a little weapon there.
Maybe so. Well, look, he and Josh Allen, salute to him, may have done something that I didn't think he was capable of, and that's take a back seat when need be. He didn't have no kind of statistical game last night, but he went what was working and managed the game properly. He's also hurt too, so that probably had a little something to do with it too, but he managed the game perfectly. He didn't turn the ball over. He made sure the ball got where it needed to go, whether it was a handoff or a short pass, and he did what he had to do to win that game last night.
Yeah,
I thought it was a really impressive game for the Bills, and again, it's overshadowed by what happened to Tua, but that game was over long before that, and you know, they just absolutely like pick them apart. I even, you know, I've got Cooks in my fantasy league and was super, super excited watching him score the first touchdown, the second touchdown, the third touchdown. And then the Dolphins were so bad, my dude couldn't even get on the field in the third quarter because the game was already over. And it's like, all right, tough.
We'll come back. We'll talk a little 49ers week two, Christian McCaffrey with James Hamm. And I'm sure we'll figure out a reason to talk about the Sacramento Kings as well. This is our Kings insider, right. James Hamm of the Insiders, here on Dealing with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. James going to go see Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
I remember that movie. I don't remember, like, you know,
in detail. You a piece of advice? Better get your hands off that microphone. That light just flickered off and came back on. It just didn't pop. I was like, whoa, that was crazy. All right.
Uh-oh.
I forgot to tell Jonathan. I literally just saw him and I forgot to tell him. I was telling James, like, you remember it?
I don't remember details.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't remember details. I just remember watching it. Times.
That's what, and I remember Beetlejuice, 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 which is why I think it's clever that they brought it back as Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. I think that's clever.
Yeah, it's time. Like, people always get mad, and this isn't necessarily a remake, but they get mad at remakes.
I think it's a sequel. I think it's like an actual part two.
Yeah. Even if they came back as like a remake, there's a whole generation and a half that don't know nothing about the outdated original versions of these movies. Let them see what they can do.
I think you can go back and watch it too, and it's got enough scary for, you know, a certain age of kid, but it's just a lot of fun. And then Winona Ryder's in both of them. I think it's going to be a good time. I've tried to avoid the reviews and the like the clips of it. The same thing, like, I've tried to avoid all of the stuff with DeMar DeRozan's new book. I got it in the mail. I want to read it for myself before I dive into like all of it. He's been all over the place talking about it. But you know, I when it comes to some of this stuff, I like to be slightly surprised with what I'm reading or what I'm watching, and don't want to know what's going to happen before I get there.
Are you a sit down, like, you'll finish the book by Monday? Are you that type of reader?
Yeah, it just depends. If the book is good and it reads, you know, quickly, sure. I could probably get through it this weekend and be ready to roll for Monday to talk about it. But, you know, it just depends on how the weekend goes. My weekends sometimes get a little crazy. They do.
James kind of turns up. Like, don't let James fool you. James be outside.
James,
he don't be far
up
from the house, but he be outside.
James be turning up.
Play some bocce tonight, and who knows what happens.
See?
See? The both of them are thinking. That is the whitest thing that was ever said on this show. That's what you both were thinking.
Well, that's...
Play some bocce. What is bocce?
Yeah, you roll balls down a course, like a.
Is that the one? So that's not the one with salt on it or anything, right? That they play in the LaBars?
No, that's.
That's shuffleboard. Well, that's a shuffleboard table.
Gotcha.
But bocce is the same basic principle. So you throw out this little tiny white ball, and then you try to get
it's
as close as you
white.
Can to it.
It's always white.
Yeah. 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 So then you roll these other balls at that ball, uh-huh. and then you try to get as close as you can to it. So
are the other balls black?
No. No, there's a dark green and a dark red, which I think is because they want to mess with colorblind people. Who? So you have no idea.
I can't remember who it was. We told someone that I have the pool table at the house. I said, but we play with different rules. The black ball is the cue ball, and the game is over when you knock the white ball off the table. And I can't remember who I told that, but they believed me. They thought that's how we play.
Might have been Kim.
That's who I think it was. That is absolutely who I think it was.
I feel like I saw that version of that game played by Adrian Broner in a hotel lobby with a pool table, where basically they were doing like $5 a turn or something like that. And you start on one end of the pool table, and you just take one of the, it don't matter what color, but you take one of the balls and you roll it down, and who can get to the closest of the other side without hitting it was the game. that about the same?
I just froze.
Yeah, froze like crazy. I thought you were just like thinking, and then you just pop back in into the screen. That freeze was like 8 seconds. It was like 8 seconds.
I have no idea what question you asked me.
It's all right. It's fine.
It doesn't even matter. Yeah. It doesn't even matter.
Bocce's a lot of fun. We have bocce leagues here, and it's just a bunch of people hanging out and having a few drinks. And, you know, we have like a 10-man team. And so you don't play that much. You sit there and you roll the ball every 5 minutes or so. Not bad.
No, it's good. I don't know how to transition out of this. I'm going to be honest.
we were going to ask about the 49ers.
Yeah, we were going to talk about Christian McCaffrey, right?
Yeah. Hey, Kyle's here. Hey, Kyle. Hey. Kyle Matson's here. Kyle's okay. Kyle wants us to know he's had a few drinks.
It's late.
He's had a couple of. I love.
It's
Kyle.
Only 3:37.
Well, the man is at the happiest place in the world. Let him live.
I ain't mad at it.
Let him live. Of course, Kyle is the guy who has two drinks and is like, "Yeah, I'm feeling a little way."
It depends on what the drinks are. I could do that.
Okay. We're at the stage where Kyle is telling us he loves us. He's feeling really good right now.
He's having a good time at the Star Wars area.
Have fun, Kyle. That's tremendous. And give our love to your friends. And yes, Kyle already on one. Yes, indeed. Christian McCaffrey. We talked a little bit about that during the commercial break, Ham. Kind of feels concerning, no? That not only that Christian McCaffrey now, at least reading between the lines, appears to be headed to IR. That puts us at like 6 regular season weeks that he misses, plus, you know, he got hurt 5 to 6 weeks prior to the start of the season. And that puts us at like a total of like 11 to 12 weeks. Plus, then you go back to before the NFC Championship game when I think he first injured the calf. This is getting a little scary for something Kyle Shanahan indicated wasn't that big of a deal when it first happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the rules are. I think he's got to miss 4 games if he goes on IR, right?
Yes, correct.
But I'm not sure like when they will put him on IR, when it will be effective. But yeah, you have to be really, really concerned. And, you know, I think for all of the times that that people just point at the 49ers offense and say, look how, you know, anyone can run that offense. This is a moment where Brock Purdy's going to have to figure out how to be a really, really good quarterback without one of the best players in the league. And it's not just McCaffrey's ability to run the ball that you're going to miss here. It's his ability to catch, because I think Jordan Mason can step in and he can run the ball and he can get you yards and he's going to be just fine. Problem is he's not really a pass catcher. And so you're going to have to rely more on Juszczyk. You're going to have to rely more on Kittle. You're going to have to rely on Debo and Juwan Jennings and Brandon Ayuk. You're going to have to sort of shift how this offense is run from like a primary run offense. From an offense that has the ability to run to one that can either you're running or you're passing, where I think that's where the versatility of McCaffrey is just, like, he's spectacular. He's one of the best pass-catching backs we've ever seen in the NFL. And to lose that element of the game, McCaffrey's going to have to – I mean, Purdy's going to have to make a shift here, and he's going to have to be a lot more assertive as a signal caller and sort of run the show and not just rely on the incredible talent around you.
And I think he's potentially at that point of his career as a quarterback. I hear a lot of people – in the 49ers locker room talk about Brock Purdy this summer and in training camp, was talking about the fact that he seems to have such a command of the offense and an understanding of what to do, when to make audibles, where he wants to go from play to play and things of that nature. And I think that was kind of on full display on Monday. I mean, he was really good. I'm not going to be like, oh, he wheeled him to a victory or anything like that, but he did everything he was supposed to do. He made every pass he was supposed to make, and he did everything he needed to make sure that team was in a position where they were comfortably ahead. And I think that's just his understanding of that offense and understanding of the game now. He's in his third season at this point. He's starting to hit his mental stride as far as understanding of the league and the game and getting to the point where, you know, he's seen a lot of these defenses and a lot of things that can be thrown at him in a game. And I think he's ready for this moment.
Yeah, I think he probably is too, but I would just caution people there's a big difference between game planning all week long for a team with Christian McCaffrey and then having another running back fill in for him and game planning for a team that just doesn't have Christian McCaffrey. Again, McCaffrey, because of his ability to come out of the backfield and catch passes all over the place, it really does make you like really, really versatile. And when the running back is standing back there and it's Jordan Mason and he's not known as someone who can go out in the pass route, you're not going to game plan nearly as much for that. And it does change a lot of, you know, what teams will do, especially when they have a whole week to prepare for it. So I think it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be almost like a proving point for Purdy, where, you know, what can he do? How good is he? Because this is going to be one of the moments where he's standing on his own a little bit. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he responds.
I'm trying to figure out the marquee game for this weekend. I guess until certain it's Chiefs Bengals.
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay. I mean, Saints Cowboys is kind of interesting.
That's interesting.
I don't know.
I think
how
Bucks
good
and
the
Lions
Saints
is
are.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I think so too. Yeah. I think the game last night should have been a lot more interesting. It should have been the game of the week.
It should have been.
Yeah.
Prior to the injury, it should have been.
We went through all of the games today, Jesse and I, and I think that there's a lot of intrigue in this week. I don't think there's a lot of cupcake games. You know, I want to see if the Bears respond and look, you know, they won. But they did not look good winning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to see, you know, how bad is Carolina? Are they really that bad?
Yep.
Or
no, they know, are. Yeah, you don't have to tune into that one, James. They are. They stink.
But you also want to know how good are the Saints, you know?
Well, like, yeah, that's
are the
it.
Saints?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's some intrigue in this weekend that I think it's so early in the season, we just don't know who teams are yet. So it should be fun.
The Bears aren't winning this week. They're not beating Houston. Not in my opinion.
No.
They got my attention.
I told James during the handoff, that's the survivor pool pick. Texas.
Got you. Okay.
Texas.
You know what games I pay attention to? I'll keep an eye on. Just because I want to see. The Seahawks at the Patriots. Patriots won last week. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't as bad as the Bears, but it wasn't pretty, but they won.
Right.
Like, you got Seattle. Some people feel a certain way about Seattle.
They didn't have a pretty win either.
They didn't. So a little curious what that game might look like.
Yeah.
I don't sit there and watch the whole thing, but I'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I think it'll be, like, you might have it as part of the quad box at one point, but I don't think it'll be, like, something that I'm watching the whole time.
Let's not go crazy.
I don't know about
there's
that.
A lot of games. There's a lot of games. I mean, the Raiders get a spot. Well, that's the other thing. The Raiders and the Niners play at the same time.
Yeah.
I take that back. I won't be paying a lick of attention to the Seahawks and Patriots because it's all these games at the same time.
You got the quad box. So you got Niners, Raiders. You got.
Which means I got to bounce back and forth between the sound of the 49ers game and the Raiders game.
Well, they still get a picture. Who else? The Cowboys probably get a picture.
Yeah, the Cowboys will get a picture. Cowboys and Saints will get a picture.
And then the Bucks and Lions. So, yeah, sorry, Seattle. You're not in the quad.
Sorry, Browns and Jags, too.
That one's going to get Panthers treatment for me.
I don't know.
Somebody tell me the score. Hey, JB, go ahead and give me the score of that one when something happens.
Hell, Terry Bradshaw can give us the score of that one. It doesn't even matter.
I want to see.
Somebody cut Terry Bradshaw's hair, by the way. Don't let Terry on TV look like that. Like, somebody cut Terry Bradshaw's
That's his
hair.
Back, man. That's his back.
Sorry, James. Go
it's
ahead.
Not good.
It's not good at all.
The Peter Boyle look.
Somebody,
yeah.
Hey, Terry. Come here, man. Sit down, man.
It's bad.
We're going on TV, buddy. Let's get cleaned up.
He said, no.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, James.
I do want to see, like, are the Browns really that bad? Because, I mean, their defense is great. So can they like, withstand Deshaun Watson? I don't know if there's a team out there that you're like, can they win despite their quarterback?
There's one in Las Vegas.
Damn.
What? You go, oh, I'm sorry, you riding with Gardner Minshew? Yeah, that's the same thing. No, but
it ain't gonna be despite him, man. He can win a couple games for you.
Okay.
I think Gardner Minshew's one of those guys that he just out of nowhere will win you a couple of games. You're like, oh, look at that. He looked really good. And then he'll like regress, and then he'll come back and he'll get you a couple of wins here and there. Like, I don't know that you can win consistently with him, but he is sort of like he's fun in a certain way. I'm glad he's not the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, and I don't have to watch him like 100%. But
me too.
Yeah.
You know, another interesting game is the Colts and the Packers. See what's going on with Green Bay. Can Green Bay, can they live without Jordan Love, Malik Willis? What can he do? I got the Colts winning that one.
Yeah, I want to see if Anthony Richardson is for real. And then I also, like Willis, man, just like calm down, man. What in the world? Like the way he came in that game the other night, and I know it's like a high pressure situation. It's at the end of the game. It's like, what do you expect, really? But what I didn't expect was someone to run around like he just drank four pots of coffee and he can't calm down. God. And his feet are, you know, chomping all around. You're like, hey, dude, what is happening? Yeah.
Keep talking. I'm dealing with a KSFM thing. Y'all got it.
All right.
Cover my back. Sorry. But,
so, James, the top 20 games, the King season, we just went to game number 11. November 10th, Golden One Center, Kings Thunder. No De'Aaron Fox, the Kings win 105-98. Significance here, this was the first ever in-season tournament game for the Sacramento Kings. You were there. Me and Damian were talking about how the energy was a little different in there that night. Like, that, whatever they did, and I don't know if it was a Jedi mind trick or anything like Damian said, but there was energy in the Golden One Center for that first in-season tournament game.
Yeah, I talked about it at the time, and whatever they did with the in-season tournament, whether it was the court, whether it was the uniforms, whether it was the way that they were promoting it, I don't know, but all of them felt different, and they felt special, and they felt important. Mm-hmm. They did not feel like one of 82, mm-hmm. And I thought it was weird because you didn't expect it until you got there to the game and you're like, okay, something feels different. Like the court is clearly different and cool. Like, mm-hmm. I think their ideas with, you know, swapping out the courts and stuff was really, really intriguing, but to be there and to watch it, for whatever reason, it felt more like a playoff game than it did just another regular season game. So, I hope that they can capture that again. And that's going to be sort of how it feels every time that you play in the end season tournament games. I don't think it will be. But I also don't know why lightning in a bottle happened last year with the end season tournament. What are we calling it this year? It's not the
NBA Cup.
The NBA, the Emirates.
What a sponsor. I was going to say there's a sponsor that I always pronounce wrong.
But yeah, Emirates.
It's the NBA Cup. Love the vibe in there. I love the court. I wonder if they switched the court up.
Yeah, I
like
wonder
it,
too.
Like if it
did a different design.
Yeah,
same feel. Like
you know what
same
was funny?
Color type
court. Every time we watched a Fever game, it looked like they were on an in-season tournament court.
Yeah, because they got a little gray.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray, and then the color is like super strong, and it's like it looks like they're playing in the in-season tournament right here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that they like have a new court this year. I mean, it's possible. I haven't like looked into it, but you know what they do with these courts is they sand them down and they just repaint them, like, and then they have like, they don't do that game in and game out. They have like three or four courts that are hiding that are stacked up, and then they wheel them out and put them down. But I'm kind of intrigued to see too if they go with the same court they did last year, because I don't think that would damage the newness. I think you want a new look every single time for these games.
Where all these courts go? You're just storing away old
the ones didn't... that they used that year, or the old ones?
All of them.
Because the old ones, people can buy them.
Oh, is that what you did?
No. You can buy those. Like they come up for auction on some of these websites. The old gym I used to work at,
what's an old NBA court go for?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head, maybe $40,000 or something like that.
Really?
And you expect us to believe you didn't get one?
No, because my
did
buddy
you get two of them.
My buddy bought so like these college courts come up for sale. They sell, you can find a place where they sell the old Final Four courts. Every time they do a Final Four, they sell those courts off. And at the gym I used to work at, they were the Final Four courts from whatever couple years before. But yeah, if you're in the know, which I'm not, my buddy is though, you know where these auctions are, and you can buy some of these college courts or some of the NBA courts and stuff like that.
The first ever in-season tournament court.
I think I've told you guys they take the nets down from every single Kings game, and they have like a filing system. They bag them. They write what game it was, what end of the court it was, and there's somewhere hiding. There's a like not a drawer because it's so many, but there's an area with a whole bunch of the nets.
So could Keegan go? I want the net from the game I scored 47. But, yes. And then do you get both of them?
I don't know.
Because
I don't know if that process
you shot
would be.
On each side of the
Which
floor.
Which one did you make more threes?
Yeah.
On each side? They
I don't want the net where I miss my 12th free. I don't want that one. I want the one where I hit 11 straight.
They need to go. Remember, I was really upset with this last year. They need to go to Amazon and get a new pack of nets.
I remember this.
The ones they finished the season with were trash.
The great net saga of... Kenny Caraway's 2023 season.
They were awful. Go back.
Hey, I was at shoot around one day, and Buddy Hill kept looking at the rim, and then he finally said, "Hey, something's wrong with the rim. Like it's not right." And they went out and they had like
how we look at you, buddy.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jim.
I don't know why that was funny.
So anyway, they have a device that not like a tape measure. They have like a device to make sure that the rim is a proper height. And it wasn't, it was off by like an inch and a half or something. And like something had happened to the base when they're wheeling it out, like whether it had run over something and something was underneath and lifting the court up the basket up or something. And they had to go back and fix it. So,
but he said, "I made that shot. Something's wrong with it."
John Bull, we're such jerks. John Bull comes out, "Person, it's exactly 10 feet, buddy. My bad."
It'd be that way sometimes. It'd be.
I got buddy, love for buddy. Buddy all right with me.
Buddy ain't bothering nobody. He's going to get booed.
He's going to get booed, man. But buddy all right with me, man.
He ain't bothering nobody.
Yeah. Good luck with the Warriors.
Well, it's all-star season.
Well, he's going to represent the Warriors in their home all-star game.
The new Splash
Buddy
Brothers.
An invite to the 3-point shootout.
We don't have much time, but next week, the boys over at the Hoop Collective were talking about the Kings today, I guess. So we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
Your boy Bon Temps.
That's James's boy. Like that's his guy.
That's my
guy. Thanks for being with us today. We appreciate you guys so much. Make sure that you are back here with us. To begin the recap of week number 2 in the NFL season. We're going to head over to 102.5. Flashback Friday starts in mere minutes.
Yeah.
DJ Complex at the top of the hour. We hope to see you over there. If not, we'll run it back and see you here at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader, 10 a.m. on Monday on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos 49ers, baby.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.